A rapid succession of animal eyes. BBC Natural World. A multitude of animals in the sea, on land and in the air.
Life on Earth.
A wildebeest herd.
Stunning, spectacular and diverse.
A blue insect, then penguin surfing.
Endless forms, startling and beautiful. Some animals amaze us with their speed, their strength, or their intelligence.
A primate cracking a coconut with a rock.
Whilst others fascinate us by, well, being a bit odd. Creatures that don't normally grab the limelight. Unconventional and unusual. Not the big stars, more the character actors. Let me introduce you to Nature's Misfits. I want to show you the extraordinary and rarely seen lives of these evolutionary oddballs. Their strange habits, their astounding forms, and the hurdles they have to overcome. It's time Nature's Misfits got the credit they're due.
An exotic coloured bird, a panda, a sloth, and an aquatic creature with prominent eyes. All examples of Nature's Misfits. Narrated by Bill Bailey.
Before we get going, let's be clear on what makes an animal a misfit.
A crab and then a penguin in undergrowth.
For some, it's because they appear ill-suited to their habitat. Others have become so highly specialised in one way that they seem disadvantaged in others.
A sloth scaling a tree.
But first, we'll meet the misfits that stand out because they're different from the rest of their animal family.
A furry rodent, then a creature with wide yellow eyes.
So how do these oddities manage to survive? Could it be that being different can actually give you an edge?
A creature somewhere between an eel and a fish uses its pectoral fins to slither off a mudflat into water. A wintry forest.
Changqing in China. In these snowy hills lives a confused creature.
Leafy bamboo shoots rustling as something disturbs them from below. A black and white bear lumbers down the hill.
A giant panda. Pandas are bears, close relatives of grizzlies and polar bears. And of course, bears are ferocious carnivores. But not the panda. They've turned their back on their meat-eating past and gone veggie.
The panda plonks itself down, then munches on bamboo.
99% of their diet comes from a single plant. Bamboo. Making them a non-meat-eating carnivore. A true misfit.
The panda's snout worries a cluster of leaves to weaken them on the branch. Then it uses one of its hefty paws to manipulate the morsel into its mouth.
In the depths of winter, most bears would be tucked up, hibernating. But not the panda. The problem is, bamboo contains so little energy that pandas simply can't build up the fat reserves required to hibernate. Instead, they endure the long freezing winters, forcing down bamboo even when it's frozen stiff. That's what all the nose twirling is about. They're breaking up the ice. A panda must eat up to 18 kilograms of bamboo a day, requiring them to feed continuously for 16 hours. This colossal consumption does have an inevitable consequence. Pandas have to answer the call of nature 40 times a day.
A few frozen nuggets of panda poo.
Giant pandas are so dependent on bamboo that it affects every aspect of their lives. It even helps explain their relaxed attitude to reproduction. Spring. Mating season for pandas.
A panda looks out from high in a tree.
This female is on heat, which has aroused the interest of a male.
A rustle in the undergrowth.
She's only fertile for a few days and just once a year, so she needs to get on with things.
She starts climbing down. The male's grunt makes her stop.
That wasn't the response she was hoping for.
The peckish male tucks into bamboo leaves.
She decides to give it another go. Things aren't going well. They both know why they're here, but just can't seem to settle their differences. Now he gingerly approaches her.
He mounts her, rests for a moment, then maneuvers himself into position.
Finally, it happens. It's little wonder pandas have acquired such a dubious track record for procreation. But there is purpose to all this. Pandas are so reliant on bamboo that if their numbers were to ever dramatically increase, there might not be enough food to go around.
A panda nibbling on bamboo.
Being slow breeders means they can survive whilst relying on just one food source. It all comes back to their veggie and very unbear-like diet. For our next misfit, it's not their diet that marks them out as different, but their size that makes them stand out from the rest of their kind.
A long fleshy sucker shoots out and vacuums up unsuspecting insects. A chameleon.
Vivid colours. Incredible eyes. And a lethal weapon of a tongue.
A tongue clamps onto an insect in a spider's web and sucks it off. The chameleon's colourful, rotating eyes.
You've got to love chameleons. But there's one chameleon that is distinctly different. It's down there, bang in the middle of that big leaf.
A tiny brown reptile.
Meet the minute leaf chameleon, one of the smallest reptiles on the planet. Found only on one island off the coast of Madagascar, it's a lizard, the size of an ant. Being this small is tough.
A millipede rumbles past.
The world's a very dangerous place when you can be mowed down by a millipede. When it comes to finding a mate, being a miniature misfit can make things rather complicated. This is a male minute leaf chameleon. He's constantly keeping an eye out for a partner, but being so small, he rarely bumps into any others of his kind. Should he find a potential mate, he has to make the most of it. A female.
The darker male opens its mouth and salivates. The female crawls behind a leaf.
It's an opportunity he can't let slip away. So he makes his move. This might not look very fast. But in chameleon terms, this is a sprint. A reckless, headlong dash.
His slow, measured steps take the male across a leaf towards the female. Then a millipede thunders by and bumps into him.
And it nearly ends in disaster. It'll take more than that to put him off his stride.
With his thin, twig-like legs, the chameleon inches across the leaf once again.
He's back on track.
His rough brown and beige body is almost camouflaged against the leaf. He slowly rests his twiggy arm on the female's tail.
Finally, he catches up with the larger female.
Almost as if in slow motion, he pulls himself further up her body.
Gently, he climbs aboard. And here he'll stay.
With his eyes closed, he gently rocks back and forth on top of her. Her eyes remain open. Later, they sit with their heads close together and their ink-spot eyes watchful.
Leaf chameleon lovers have to stick together, as they so rarely meet one another.
In unison, they sink behind a leaf, the curls of their tails the last to go. A chameleon's tongue in action.
Being miniature means leaf chameleons can specialise at feeding on all the tiny insects in the leaf litter, food which is out of reach for other chameleons. They're not the only misfits that benefit by doing things differently from the rest of their kind. Purple frogs from India are one of just a handful of frogs that live and feed underground, a bit like moles. They only ever pop up to the surface for 2 weeks a year to find a mate. So there has to be some frog speed dating. Flying lemurs have independently evolved wings. Technically, they're gliding, not flying. And while they're certainly not lemurs, it's still one hell of a trick. Flying fish are definitely fish. They take to the air to avoid underwater predators. Gliding up to 400 meters.
Half bird, half fish, they glide above the ocean with their wings spread.
Sometimes being a bit different works brilliantly. Other times it can be risky. High in the Bale Mountains of Ethiopia lives an unlikely looking creature which seems to have lost all sense of self-preservation. This is the only place in the world where you find big-headed mole rats. They've not got high opinions of themselves, just very large heads. It's the big-headed mole rat's lifestyle that qualifies them as a misfit. There are 36 different species of mole rats, all specially adapted to live underground. But the big-headed mole rat is different. They're the only one of their kind that always feeds above ground. But round here, that's not necessarily a great plan. These mountain plateaus are home to Ethiopian wolves.
A pack is crossing the rough, arid landscape on the prowl. They split into two to cover more ground.
Unusually for a wolf, they rarely hunt in packs. They're specialist rat catchers and work best as solitary hunters.
One stops, its eyes fixed on prey.
Big-headed mole rat senses are designed for their old burrowing lifestyle.
The wolf hunkers down.
Feeble eyesight and poor hearing.
The wolf closes in. It has short, russet and white fur and agile, graceful limbs. With its mouth stuffed with grass, the mole rat suddenly looks up.
Above ground, they're sitting ducks.
The wolf advances till it's just a few meters away and face to face with its prey. Then it pounces. The mole rat dives into its burrow in the nick of time.
A very close shave. With the mole rat's determination to forage above the ground, they could really benefit from having a sentry. A lookout to check the coast is clear.
A small perky bird with brown feathers.
And that's exactly what these are. Moorland chats. Expert foragers on these high mountain plateaus. They hang around the mole rats, feeding on any bugs and worms dug up in their spoil heaps.
When a mole rat digs up more earth, a chat helps itself to a juicy worm. It scurries off, then another chat takes its place on the mound of earth.
In return for this easy meal, the chats keep an eye out for troublesome wolves. Alarm calling if they come too close.
A mole rat immediately withdraws to its burrow. The wolf gracefully leaps onto the burrow mouth, but it's too late. So the predator slopes off, watched by the vigilant bird. After a while, the light brown furry mole rat resumes its foraging.
By choosing to feed above ground, big-headed mole rats have turned their backs on millions of years of evolution.
The wolf trots across rocky terrain.
For this misfit, being able to get direct access to rich grass must outweigh the risk of being preyed on.
Flying over sea towards rocks blanketed in vegetation.
But sometimes there appears little logic as to why an animal has evolved to be different from the rest of its animal family.
The sun twinkles through the forest canopy.
The primeval forests of New Zealand. Amongst the undergrowth, something stirs.
A glimpse of yellow-green feathers, then a bird waddles out of the undergrowth.
A parrot. But a parrot unlike any other. This is the world's heaviest and only flightless parrot.
It pads across the forest floor, then with a little hop, comes to a halt.
But that's just the start of its misfit credentials. For this is a kakapo.
Its large, ungainly feet cross in front of each other as it walks.
Kakapos can be surprisingly nimble on the ground.
It bounds forward, then stops.
But that's no use to them when their favourite food is up in the trees. Reaching it isn't as easy as it perhaps should be.
The kakapo comes down a slope, then climbs through a tangled tree using its curved beak for purchase.
They awkwardly clamber around. Relying on their bill as an extra claw.
Holding on by its bill, it swings its rotund body round.
It's all a bit embarrassing, really. For a bird.
Using its beak and claws together, it picks its way across the tree. Next, a kakapo, with fine light brown face feathers, feeding on leaves.
Kakapos evolved to be flightless because there were no ground predators on New Zealand. When the first settlers arrived on these islands, their ships also contained cats, weasels, and rats. When threatened, the kakapo's principal defense mechanism is to stand very, very still. This strategy has not worked out well for the kakapo. Now there are only 125 left in the wild. Which brings us to another major issue. Kakapos are one of the world's slowest breeding birds and have a delightfully eccentric mating ritual.
Craters on the surface of a crescent moon.
Night. This is when kakapo's minds turn to finding a mate. A male limbers up. He plods along a well-worn path, his personal stomping ground. In a small hollow that he's carefully excavated, he settles down and calls out for a mate. The deep, low tone drifts across the valleys. It can be heard up to 3 miles away. He'll do this for up to 8 hours every night for 3 months. As is often the case, it's the females that are the picky ones. They're only interested in breeding once every 5 years. Despite his best efforts, it's not going to happen tonight. Or any time soon, by the looks of it. With no natural predators to keep a check on their population, kakapos evolved to be slow breeders. Happily now, their numbers are increasing again, just very slowly. Being the world's most peculiar, ill-equipped and unlikely parrot more than qualifies the kakapo to join the misfit gang. Which brings us to our next set of non-conformists. Animals that all appear hopelessly ill-suited to the environment in which they live. And where better to start than a muddy shoreline in Japan?
A slimy brown creature with distinctive light blue speckles and bulbous eyes slithers out of the mud.
Mud skippers look like creatures that began to evolve, then got stuck halfway. A fish that can live out of water.
When it blinks, its eyes sink into its head.
Although hauling themselves along on their fins doesn't make it look like they've really cracked it yet. Survival is tough enough as it is, so there must be a good reason to add that extra level of difficulty. Well, it's all about the mud. It may not look appetizing, but mudskippers eat and thrive on mud. It's rich in tiny plants and animals, which they filter out.
It moves across the mud, scraping its top lip from side to feed. Its cheeks inflate like balloons as it breathes.
And they've got a neat trick to stay alive in this hostile environment. To breathe on land, mudskippers store water in their cheeks, surrounding their gills. Every now and then, topping up the oxygen levels in the water with a big gulp of air. They're not breathing the air directly. The air they're gulping in mixes with the water around their gills, allowing them to draw out the oxygen.
Heads puffing up.
And they're also able to breathe directly through their skin. But being a fish, and a tropical fish at that, they're taking a big risk.
The jewel of the sun crossing a clear blue sky.
Drying out is their biggest danger. Only when their skin's wet can they breathe through it. If it dries out, they will quickly suffocate. To avoid this, they're constantly rolling around in the mud in order to keep their skin moist.
One shakes its body as it wallows in a deep mud bath. The mudskippers have two dorsal fins that fan out along their spines.
Mudskippers do seem to be rather disagreeable creatures. But perhaps it's a result of having to eat mud every day.
Two get into a tussle, while a third snaps at a nearby crab. With mouths gaping open and dorsal fins fully on display, the two mudskippers square up to each other, wriggling and writhing around in the sludge. Eventually, one hops off, and the victor closes its mouth, then winks in the sunshine.
Our next metaphorical fish out of water is also a little ungainly on the land.
A black beak followed by a black and white body breaking through the surface of the water before belly flopping onto the snow.
Penguins, loved by all.
Waddling along at the base of an ice cliff.
They're certainly endearing creatures.
They splash through the shallows with their short wings hanging at their sides.
Of course, we're used to seeing them in the frozen vastness of Antarctica. But there's one penguin that has chosen a different path. Yes, this is a penguin taking a stroll in a forest. It's a Fiordland crested penguin, and this is South Island, New Zealand. They're here to raise their chicks. With no natural ground predators, it's a very safe place to nest. Like any self-respecting penguin, they still love fish, which are, understandably, in short supply in the forest. Every day, the adults shuffle back and forth to the sea to feed.
One ambles along a shore.
Using crystal-clear forest streams as convenient highways.
The penguins have distinctive yellow eyebrow stripes. One climbs out of the water, shakes its tail, then hops off along the bank.
The chicks are left to fend for themselves, and like many young birds, they're rather clumsy on land. It's often early in life that animals seem most ill-suited to their environment and face their greatest threats. A remote sandy spit in the middle of the Pacific. Black-footed albatross chicks. They've been raised on this tiny island and are now ready to take to the air. These are mythical birds of the open ocean, completely at one with their environment. Surely an albatross can't be a misfit. Once airborne, they're fine. It's that tricky learning process that puts them in the misfit camp. These ugly ducklings are cumbersome and awkward on land. And for a seabird, they're pretty inept in the water too.
A small wave washes over one and it flails about, flapping its long dark wings.
Albatross are such huge birds, they simply can't take off without a strong headwind. Or a very long run-up.
A chick runs clumsily across the sand, stops, then takes off.
The chicks practice along the shore. But eventually their maiden flight will have to be over open water.
One flaps its wings, but its body seems too heavy, and it sinks onto the water.
This is not the place to linger.
A shark suddenly raises its head and grabs a chick in its jaws.
Tiger sharks. A dozen of them are drawn to the island, purposely to prey on the fledgling chicks.
A dorsal fin slices through the swell, then a shark pounces on its prey. Another unsuspecting chick succumbs to the same fate. In the turquoise water, a black silhouette closes in. The shark scoops up the chick, its powerful tail creating a flurry of bubbles under the surface. The chick balances precariously on the shark's jaws, then falls into the water, but is quickly snaffled up again.
From the shore, others watch on, waiting for their moment.
A chick keeps a watchful eye out as a dorsal fin cuts through the water like a blade.
One chick builds up courage and sets off.
It runs and skims over the surface of the water, then manages to take to the air. A shark is lurking nearby.
No sooner is it airborne, the wind drops. It ditches.
Its legs and belly are visible beneath the surface. A shark slips down, then rises up right next to the chick. At first, the chick appears untouched, but then the shark lifts its head to reveal the chick's leg between its teeth. But somehow the chick manages to skitter away, flapping across the surface before lifting off into the air. With a few flaps of its wings, it flies clear of the danger.
Amazingly, it escapes. Others also get away.
A chick flapping across the water, then taking flight.
Once airborne, they'll never look back, leaving their misfit phase behind them.
From an airborne chick to an expanse of open ocean under scattered clouds.
Beneath the waves, deep down, is a creature that can't escape its misfit ways. Simply getting around is enough to give them a headache.
An inky shadow sweeps across the seabed, belonging to a creature with a striped spiral shell.
A nautilus is the creature that time forgot. A living fossil. A primitive inhabitant of the deep sea, which first evolved 400 million years ago. Distantly related to octopuses and squid, they're the sole survivors of a once abundant group of sea creatures. Having pottered around underwater for near on half a billion years, you might expect them to be perfectly adapted to life in the ocean. But of course, we wouldn't be talking about them if that was the case.
They have a fleshy white tube that pumps out water.
Nautili move by forcing water out of a specially adapted tentacle. using the same principle as a jet engine.
One cruising between rocks.
But with their jet propulsion thrusting them shell first, their eyes are effectively pointing backwards.
It bashes into rocks.
Which makes them rather prone to the odd collision.
Its stripes are a dark red and white, as are its fleshy body and tentacles that protrude from its shell. It keeps bashing into things.
With 400 million years of not knowing what hazards you're swimming into, it's amazing they've survived at all.
One knocks into a resting octopus.
They can't even avoid the relatives. Nautili are able to reverse directions. By bending their tentacle round under their shell, they can gingerly move forward. Although this doesn't appear to be any improvement.
It negotiates a path around the latest rock, then swims on.
Nautili may struggle with getting around, but having barely changed for hundreds of millions of years, it can't be doing them too much harm. At least their ocean home is pretty constant. Whereas our next misfit has to deal with some of the most extreme seasonal changes on the planet.
Snow drifting over packed ice, then cascading down a cliff.
The high Arctic. A bleak and inhospitable place. This is not where you'd expect to find a caterpillar. It's the start of summer, and these Arctic woolly bear caterpillars are in a race against time. They feast while they can, making the most of long summer days. Their goal is to reach an optimum weight to enable them to pupate into a moth, completing their life cycle. But this far north, summer is brief. Soon, the days begin to shorten. Winter is coming.
An icy crust spreads over what's left of the vegetation.
This woolly bear has not managed to eat enough to transform into a moth. Time has run out.
A rock freezes over.
As temperatures plummet, it settles under a rock to await its fate.
The frost encroaching on its bristly body.
Still alive, its body starts to freeze. Its heart stops beating. Blood turned to ice.
Snow sweeping over the frozen wilderness at twilight.
The depths of winter. For 5 months, temperatures won't rise above minus 30.
The Aurora Borealis, a dancing curtain of green light, sweeps across the sky, then fades. A new day dawns, with the sun creeping above the horizon.
Spring, and the thaw begins.
As the sun sweeps across the sky, melting icicles shed droplets of water. The frost gradually melts around the caterpillar.
The caterpillar miraculously rises from the dead and begins to feed.
It gorges on juicy leaves.
But no matter how fast the woolly bears eat, they won't be able to pupate this year either.
Speeded up footage of advancing frost.
The cold closes in once again. The years pass, the seasons come and go, and still the caterpillars feed while they can, before being wrapped again in an icy embrace. By breaking down their cell components and flooding their bodies with antifreeze chemicals, amazingly, the caterpillars can survive. Withstanding temperatures as low as minus 70 degrees centigrade.
The frost retreats, and the caterpillar again sheds its icy shroud.
Eventually, a very special summer arrives, as this will be its last. Only now has it eaten enough to make the transformation into an adult. It's 7 years old. The world's oldest caterpillar.
It weaves and encloses itself inside a cocoon that resembles a ball of grey hair. The sun remains high in the sky.
Days later, the adult moth emerges. It must now find a partner and mate.
It's grey with fluttering wings.
The woolly bears can only complete their life cycle because of their incredible adaptation.
A couple mating.
It's their extraordinary solution to living in such a hostile and marginal habitat.
Lizards watching crashing waves.
Many animals have unique adaptations that make them highly specialized. Marine iguanas are the only lizards on the planet that feed in the sea, grabbing mouthfuls of seaweed whilst holding their breath.
A creature digging up soil.
With a sticky 60-centimeter tongue and some of the largest claws of any mammal, giant anteaters can devour 30,000 termites in a day. Their bodies are so highly specialized, they can now only ever feed on these tiny insects. Which isn't a bad thing. By weight, termites are more protein-rich than any other food source. Texas blind salamanders spend their entire lives in the pitch black of caves. With zero light, eyes would be utterly useless, a drain on precious energy. Now they sense their prey with receptor cells dotted along their bodies. But being such a specialist animal can also have its downsides.
On a small remote island covered in trees.
Vanuatu, in the South Pacific. On a pristine tropical island like this, you might expect to find all manner of exotic-looking crabs.
Two black eyes and antennae stick out, a blood-red eye on a black stem, and a hermit crab with its shell.
But here, there's a real oddity.
A dark crab skulks in the undergrowth. It has huge armor-plated claws.
This mighty beast is a coconut crab. With a meter-wide leg span, weighing up to 4 kilograms, this is the world's largest land invertebrate.
Palm fronds in the moonlight.
The crabs have evolved to be giants, to feast on a tropical delicacy. The clue's in the name. But just to be clear, coconut crabs do actually eat coconuts. They're one of the few animals strong enough to break the tough husk. The whole process can take several hours. But the reward is well worth it.
It delicately picks out a morsel of white coconut flesh.
Coconut crab's outlandish size and strength might be an advantage when it comes to feeding.
Churning spray on a rocky shore.
But it can be fatal when it comes to reproducing. Like all crabs, these giants have to release their eggs in the sea. But unlike most crabs, they can't breathe underwater. And because they've grown so heavy, if they're ever washed out of their depth, they'll never recover, eventually drowning. A female, her belly bulging with eggs.
The waves are crashing dangerously close to her.
Carefully, she edges towards the pounding waves. One missed step could mean disaster.
As she makes her way across the rock, a wave washes over her, and she has to cling on for dear life.
Clinging precariously to the edge, she quickly releases her eggs.
She shakes off the eggs, then clambers back across the rocks.
Only when she reaches the shoreline will she be safe. Coconut crabs' incongruous size has evolved so they can feed on coconuts. But they're not the only misfits whose very special diet has resulted in a very specialized body.
A sky dusted with stars, then a pearly moon.
Madagascar, in dead of night. A ghoulish creature awakes. Half bat, half monkey. And with a grotesquely elongated finger. The eye is undoubtedly very peculiar, like a cross between E.T. and Nosferatu. In fact, it's a type of lemur, a primate, a misfit in our own animal family.
A baobab tree silhouetted against the moon. The eyes have black and wiry grey fur and staring yellow eyes.
Their curious features allow them to find their favourite food. That extraordinary finger taps at the branch up to 10 times a second. Ears pick up on the unmistakable echo of a hollow. Teeth gnaw a hole. They're the only primates whose teeth grow constantly throughout their lives, just like rodents.
One inserts its long finger in the hole in the bark.
Finally, she hooks the prize. An insect grub. Eyes feed almost exclusively on these grubs, fishing them out from rotten wood. Normally, birds like woodpeckers would feed like this, using their bills to break through the wood. But woodpeckers never reached the eye's island home of Madagascar. Instead, these primitive primates have evolved to fill the woodpecker's niche, exploiting a resource that no other animal can get to. On first impressions, other misfits' strange bodies are much harder to explain.
An insect with an arrow-shaped head and bulbous eyes, then a selection of other bizarre and exotic creatures.
On the forest floor in Malaysia, an alien creature emerges. It's an insect, a type of fly, and this is a male.
He has a long, pale body, thin legs, and a translucent head flanked by bulbous red eyes.
If you think he looks unearthly now, just wait to see what happens next.
After crossing the leaf litter, he starts climbing up a small tree. His journey then takes him higher, up green stems, and then he stops.
He starts by gulping in air, forming clear bubbles in his head. He forces these bubbles into the stalks supporting his eyes.
The translucent stalks on either side of his head start to stretch.
Like blowing up a balloon, the stalks stretch, getting longer and longer.
Speeded up film of the fly's limbs moving quickly around his body as the stalks extend further, curving slightly with the red bulbous eyes on their tips. He runs his forelimbs along their length.
A few final adjustments, and a couple of hours in the sun to let its skin go hard, and the look is complete. Meet the stork-eyed fly.
He's now the colour of toffee.
These bizarre storks don't help the fly see any better. In fact, quite the opposite. It's thought they reduce the effectiveness of their eyesight. So there must be another benefit that's allowed these implausible appendages to evolve.
With flapping wings, one takes off from a leaf.
In the evening, a group of males gather. They size each other up, eyeball to eyeball.
Two come face to face on a twig.
There's some aggressive posturing.
An exchange of swipes.
But a full-on fight never breaks out. The storks are sort of measuring sticks, a way to gauge how strong a rival is.
1 inch closer to touch his opponent.
As they square up, the male with the widest stalks wins.
The loser picks its way back down the twig.
Males with broad stalks are also considered the more desirable by the females and will therefore produce the most offspring. It's sexual selection, rather than natural selection, that has allowed the stork-eyed fly's unique appearance to evolve. Our final misfit has to be one of the most peculiar yet most endearing animals on the planet.
A sloth with long furry arms and gripping claws climbs steadily up a tree.
It's not often you see a sloth in a rush. This is a three-toed sloth, a female. And she's ravenously hungry. It's the leaves that she's after. However, in order to protect themselves, rainforest leaves are often tough, rubbery, and full of toxins. They're indigestible and lacking in energy. But that hasn't stopped the sloth. With large, multi-chambered stomachs containing a unique mix of bacteria, they're able to deal with the tough leaves. But it's not a quick process. Sloths have the slowest digestion of any mammal. It can take them 2 weeks to process a single meal. And it's a hopelessly inefficient process. Sloths had two options. Either they had to eat more or do less.
One slowly lowers itself, so it's hanging upside down.
Sloths evolved to do less. Their entire lifestyle is all about expending as little energy as possible. The word sloth has come to mean laziness, but sloths aren't lazy. They've just developed a laid-back survival technique. Although watching them does make you feel like a nap.
One sleeps hanging upside down while another perches in the canopy.
But their legendary lethargic manner does have a downside.
An eagle with grey feathers, brown eyes and a hooked grey bill.
Harpy eagles. And jaguars. Both regularly hunt sloths.
A sloth scratches its neck.
Without speed as a defence, sloths had to go down another route. Camouflage. They've become the world's only vaguely green mammal. Of course, there are plenty of green bugs, green lizards, and green birds. But can you name another green mammal? There aren't any. So how have they done it? Their thick, coarse fur has evolved to house entire communities of algae, single-celled plants. It's the algae that's turned them green, the perfect way to blend into the forest. Sloths may come across as comical and incongruous, but they're actually highly evolved and extremely well adapted at their chosen way of life.
A staring eye-eye.
In fact, all misfits prove that being different does give you an edge. It can make you very successful. The result is a group of wonderfully eccentric creatures. Creatures we should be grateful we share our planet with.
From a nautilus bashing into a rock, to an anteater, then a panda.
Yet now, largely due to our influence, over half of the animals in this programme are endangered.
A fat, fleshy, purple frog, then a kakapo.
It's because these animals are so specialised, they're often more prone to the threats that face all wildlife. That's why we should be looking out for them more than ever before. They deserve our admiration, these misfits, these quirks of nature, turning their oddness into opportunity. They might be a bit weird, but they're equal to any of the wonders of the planet in the glorious spectacle that is life on Earth.